Good morning. Praise the Lord. We're at Harvest Worship Center. We're in the midst of a series entitled An In-Depth Study on Love. This is message number 10. Today's title is Being Spiritually Minded or Love-Minded.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to study your word together as family. Lord, I know it brings great joy when your family comes together to hear your voice. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful for your presence in our life and for bringing revelation knowledge to us as we hear the living Word of God. Thank you for the renewing of our mind. Thank you for healing, signs, miracles, and wonders that flow from your Word because it is alive and therefore it brings forth life. We receive this Word today, Father, as a vital treasure in our life, as a rich treasure. And Father, we thank you that you'll reveal yourself to us today as we study in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Like I said, today's title is Being Spiritually Minded or Love-Minded. Let me open my sword or the treasure of God's Word this morning. We've had several messages. Like I said, we've had 10. And I'm just going to name them because in and of themselves, the titles speak a kind of a progression in our study, and I encourage you to go back to Facebook and to our website, rallaharvest.org. Click on the sermons tab and go down through and listen to these if you haven't had the opportunity, or if you would like to just refresh, it'd be a good idea to keep these fresh in your mind and heart as we study. The progression of the titles up to today is God is Love. Love, the point of origin, all because of love, all God's ways are love, rooted deep in love, love the top priority in life, guard your heart above all that you guard, the established heart, part one and then part two, and today being spiritually minded or love-minded. I put that way on purpose because you cannot be spiritually minded without being love-minded.
That's right.
They are one and the same. Having an established heart is what we've been talking about over the past few weeks. And as you study Scripture, you'll find that all of Scripture, all of the letters of Paul and James and John and all the other epistles, what Jesus was talking about in his ministry, what the prophets brought forth, what the law brought forth, what the commandments brought forth, they're all talking about being spiritually minded. They're all talking about love. This whole entire book is a love book. It's God revealing his heart to his people and showing us who we are. Because as we mentioned several times in this study, the word in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 says, as he is, so are we in this world. And the word says he is the being love. So as we study love, we're studying God. We're studying his ways. We're studying who we are. And we're studying our ways. So in order to have an established heart, we have to be spiritually minded or love-minded. That's why I put the title that way, because they're one and the same. Walking in the Spirit is walking in love. You know, there's a lot in the Bible that talks about walking in the Spirit. We want to walk in the Spirit. But so many times when you hear a teaching on walking on the Spirit, they don't mention love. Because they're one and the same. And you have to know that walking in the Spirit is walking in love. It's a love walk. It's filtering everything in your life through the Word of God and through your love walk, what God calls love. So we're going to look at that today, being spiritually minded. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. We're going to use the New King James in this case. For the most part, I'll be using the Amplified, but the classic version. There's two different versions now. At 2015, they revised the Amplified, and it's not as in-depth as the original classic is. So I like the classic. So Romans 8, verse 5, New King James, starting in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. to be spiritually minded, you're walking in life and peace. When you walk in love, you walk in peace. When you walk in love, it brings forth life in yourself, in your, not only in your mind and in the life around you, but it also brings, as you read further down, especially Romans 8:11, you'll find that being spiritually minded will bring life to your whole flesh. And it'll renew your mind. It brings life to us. And we read that in Proverbs chapter 4 a couple of weeks ago. And last week, as we studied being spiritually minded, we find that Proverbs says that the issue, that from the heart, the issues of life flow. He's talking about being spiritually minded. So notice here it says to be carnally minded is death. That death means separation from God. It means that your thoughts, your emotions, everything you do is based on your own mind. It's based on the flesh. It's based on the world's way of doing things. If you govern your life by your emotions, you'll wind up being carnally minded, because that's what that is. You cannot govern your life by your emotions. Your emotions are not meant or even created to govern your life. They're only a sense, a sensory. They're for the purpose of sensing what's going on around you. That's all. They are never meant to govern. God did not create our senses and our emotions to govern us. Actually, our mind, our carnal mind, was not created to govern our lives. That's not what it was created for. The mind, which is the mind is the mind, emotions, and will, or our soul. And they are meant to communicate with our spirit man. Our spirit man is meant to be in dominion, or being spiritually minded.
Amen.
If you're carnally minded, it's death, because that's what happened to Adam. Before the fall, Adam was spiritually minded. He functioned completely in the spirit as a spirit being. He functioned one with God. God is a spirit, man is a spirit. They were of one heart. They functioned together. They knew each other's heart in the depths of their hearts. But when man separated, his spirit separated from God's spirit. That's death. And that's what it's talking about here. To be carnally minded is separation from God.
Right.
God is still in you. You can be born again and still walking a separated life.
Right.
With God. He's not talking about being born again or not being born again here. He's talking about being spirit, having your spirit man in dominion in your life. Being spiritually minded, having the Holy Spirit as your guide in all that you do.
Amen.
When you got born again, the Holy Spirit came in and He dwells inside as one with your spirit. You became alive to God again. You're no longer separated. But you have to make the choice. God does not take the choice away from you. You have to choose to be spiritually minded. You have to make that choice every moment of your life, every day of your life, every thought that you think, every step that you take. You have to make a decision to be spiritually minded.
Amen.
To walk the love walk. Walking the love walk is a holy life. That's how you walk a holy life. And God said in the Word, to be ye holy as I am holy. That's what He's talking about. To be governed by your spirit. That's the only way you can walk a holy life. If you don't walk a holy life, if you're not spiritually minded, you are carnally minded. You're one or the other. And you can tell easily which you are by the way you make your decisions. If you get mad when people get mad, glad when they're glad, you do what they do, you think what they think, they govern your thoughts and emotions, all your circumstances depends on whatever's coming against you, you decide whether you're being happy or sad based on those decisions, based on those circumstances. You're carnally minded. All your senses are for, created, they're just what they're called, they're senses. They're meant to sense what's going on around you on the surface, because they can't look underneath the surface. All the senses can do is communicate with this natural world around us. They communicate to the mind, and that's supposed to be communicated to our spirit. No decision is to be made by the mind yet. what the senses are observing and feeling and sensing, they communicate that to the spirit man. Then the Holy Spirit defines and discerns and searches out the heart of God and what's going on, and takes that information and gets underneath of it and looks at it from a spiritual standpoint. And then the Holy Spirit communes with my spirit man, the real me, and then my spirit man determines what I do. That's communicated to the mind, then the body responds to what the spirit man is saying, not what the mind and emotions are saying.
Amen.
We have spiritual senses, and we have carnal, bodily senses. Our spirit man is to be in dominion in everything. Now, we can be spiritually minded in one area and carnally minded in another. That's why we constantly got to filter what we're seeing and thinking through the Word of God. We've got to do that and ask the Holy Spirit to commune with us and to teach us how to choose, and He will. Another thing we need to know, that all sin, no matter what it is self-centered. How do you define sin? We need to know that to understand what being spiritually minded is versus being carnally minded. Sin is anything that separates you from God.
Right.
Spirit, soul, or body, whatever it is, if it separates you from your walk with the Lord, it's sin as far as God's concerned. Now, we define sin in a carnal way in our natural man. We define it based on anger, fear, worry, and all these things. And we don't count worry and fear as a sin sometimes, but it is, because it's not faith. The Word says if it's not a faith, it's sin.
That's right.
So as far as God's concerned, if I'm walking in fear and worry and anger and all these emotional things, if I'm doing that, as far as God is concerned, that's separation from Him. And separation from Him is sin. That's what sin is. It's separation from God. Well, I can't walk without being in sin. No, that's why we got a scapegoat. That's why we got a release valve. That's why God put 1 John 1:9 in there.
Amen.
So that we can control our now moments. That we can repent of those things that separate us from God. And I can walk right with God one moment at a time. I can't do it all at one time, but I can do it one moment at a time.
Amen.
I can govern my thoughts one moment at a time by being humble and bringing my self-centeredness to the Father and ask forgiveness for that. Because we are expected to walk right with God. That's why He put His Spirit within us. That's why He gave us His Word. And it is possible to do that. But we have to do it one moment at a time, one decision at a time, repenting as we go. So to be spiritually minded or love-minded puts us in a place to know His ways and what our ways are supposed to be. The only way that we will ever know what our ways are supposed to be is to look at God's ways.
Mm-hmm.
Message number 4 in this series was on God's ways. We went in detail about what Scripture says about God's ways. Listen to that and compare it to your own ways. I have to compare it to my ways. God expects His ways to be my ways. He expects me to conform to His ways. His ways are all love-based. And if I look at my ways and I can't see His ways in my ways, then I'm out of order. I got to fix that. I may not understand that I'm out of order, but if I ask the Holy Spirit, He'll start revealing it to me. And then when you are, don't get mad at yourself. Fix it.
Amen.
Fix it. Don't keep doing the same thing because I can't help that. Yes, you can. The Word says you can. You just don't want to. Or you don't know how to. Or you don't want to put the effort out. But you can change your ways to His ways. Otherwise, that verse in Romans 8, 5, and 6 wouldn't even be there.
Right.
He wouldn't tell us how to live if we couldn't do it. When the Word says to do this, to let this, to put this, when He tells us to do a certain thing as a commandment, with the commandment comes the power, the authority, and the ability to do it. God gives us that. That comes with the commandment. He's not going to command us to do something that's not possible. Now, some of them you can't do in your carnal nature. You're going to have to become spiritually minded. Correct yourself with the love walk is what you have to do. If you're not willing to do that, then you're going to stay right in your carnal nature, right where you are. And you'll have a mess in your life. It's just that simple. So being spiritually minded or love minded, whenever you see spiritually minded, put love in there because that's what it's talking about. Being spiritually minded or love minded puts us in a place or a position to know His ways and what our ways are supposed to be. If we know what our ways are supposed to be, what are we standing around for? Let's do something about it. Being spiritually minded or love minded puts us in a place where we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, God Himself who lives in each of us. You know, if we are spiritually minded, we can hear and sense the presence and the voice of the Spirit in our life. It's an inner witness of, Michael, don't talk that way. Michael, change your thoughts. Michael, don't go over there. You have no business in that place. That's your old life. Don't go there. Don't look at that. Don't think that. You'll hear that inside yourself. And the more you're spiritually minded, the louder that will get.
Yeah.
And if you don't watch yourself, you'll start feeling guilty.
Yep.
But the Word says, there's therefore now no condemnation.
Amen.
To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Romans 8:1. Same chapter. He's telling us, if you're going to be spiritually minded, there's no condemnation there. You don't have to feel bad because you think the thought. On top of that, just because you think something doesn't make it yours.
That's right.
We think a lot of thoughts that are not our thoughts. They don't belong to us until we respond to them. Now we purchase the thought. Now we have to do something about it. But just because a thought flashes across my mind related to my old man, maybe I heard a song, maybe I smelled a smell, maybe I went someplace where a memory come back, and all of a sudden I think I'm in sin again, and I'm not. Because I didn't respond to it. I didn't partake of it. And even if you do, you can fix that. Father, I'm sorry. I repent of that. Yes, Mother?
Well, it's like Jesus said, take no thought saying.
Saying.
Once you speak it, that's how you take it.
You bought it. Or respond to it by an action. And that's also the same as being saying. You are putting yourself into that.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be aware of that. Just because the thought's there does not make it my thought. And that's why the Word says to take every thought captive. Talking about pulling those strongholds down. I do that, not God.
Right.
And if I'm spiritually minded and I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm letting the Spirit and the love walk determine my actions, then those thoughts have a hard time coming in. It doesn't stop them from trying to. So I got a memory bank here. But the Word renews my mind. It cleanses. And the more Word I have in my life, the stronger my love walk is, the more determined I am to walk with God because I love Him. The more I do that, the less those thoughts have dominion. The stronger I am. We need to govern our thoughts with the Word, with the love walk. So as I do that, the voice of the Spirit is louder and louder. God will not condemn me. He's looking at how quickly I get up. He's looking at how quickly I respond with the Word. And every time I respond with the Word to correct that, the stronger I get. Praise God. I'm not alone in this. The Spirit lives in me. I'm not white-knuckling my life, just pushing my way through. He's governing my life. He's teaching me how. He's correcting me as I go, and that's a good thing. So being spiritually minded or love-minded puts me in a place where we can hear the voice of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, God Himself, who lives in each of us. Being spiritually minded or love-minded puts us in a place where we can be guided by the Holy Spirit in every area of life, even right down to where we park.
Amen.
He does that. Turn this way instead of that while I was going there, but now I think I'll go over here. He's guiding me in everything that I do. There's a reason for it, and it won't make sense to me, but it does to Him. Every step I take to God is important. It's part of my life. How much time, pardon me, take a drink here. How much time have you wasted in your life?
Amen.
Boy. I've wasted a lot of time in my life. And I can't get it back. It's gone. But the more spiritually minded I am, the less time I waste. Because now I govern myself being led by the Spirit. So being spiritually minded or love-minded puts us in a place where we can be guided by the Holy Spirit. Being spiritually minded or love-minded puts us in a place to know what and how to choose. You know, I can be guided by the Holy Spirit and not recognize it. Who else is trying to guide me? The enemy.
Yeah.
He's trying to move me off. So as I'm spiritually minded, I'm going to recognize his tactics. And if I don't, the Holy Spirit will see to it that I do. And he can get me back any time I will yield to him. Even if I make a mistake and don't recognize the trick of the enemy. I'm not done. It's not over with. The Holy Spirit can move me right back. Right where I'm supposed to be. Now, I will be involved in that movement.
Amen.
I have to make the decisions. And I have to take the steps of obedience. But he will guide me. Well, how will I know if it's the Holy Spirit or the devil? You'll know. You'll know. There's always a witness in your heart. You'll know that this is the love way. This is the selfless way. The other way is self-centered. I'm getting something out of that. But when it's selfless, when you're laying your life down for someone else, when you're doing it because of love of the Father, you'll know the difference between the two. Anything the enemy does winds up being self-centered. Winds up in sin. It always does. He can't do anything else. God's way always leads to peace, joy, long-suffering, patience, kindness, all the fruit of the Spirit you'll find in God's way. And there's always a reward for that. There's always a benefit. So being spiritually minded puts us in a place to know how to choose. Being spiritually minded or love-minded puts us in a place where God Himself has an eye on our path of life. And He Himself will teach us
Amen.
How to walk that life, how to choose. Psalm 32, verse 7. Now there's two people speaking in these two verses. And if you just read them, it kind of don't make sense if you just read it. But if you know there's two different personalities talking here, then it makes sense. Psalm 32, verse 7, David speaks in verse 7. God speaks in verse 8 because of what David said in verse 7. Psalm 32, verse 7, David, "You are a hiding place for me. You, Lord, preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance." And then David stops and calmly thinks of that. He meditates on what he just said. And because that's what Selah means, pause and calmly think of that. So he's taken time with what he just said to the Lord. He spoke this and then he waits. Then God speaks up. "The Lord will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Some of the translations say, my eye on your path.
I'll watch over you.
Watch over you. But the point that it's David's making here in this song, in this psalm, is the fact that David took time to present his needs to the Father. Then he declared what the Father would do, that he would take care of him in the midst of this issue. And then he meditates on it, on the goodness of God. What's he meditating on? Meditating on what he said. David is sitting here wherever he was. Maybe he was out in the field with the sheep. Who knows? Doesn't say when he wrote this. But he's in a time of trouble, obviously, from the rest of the psalm. And it says, you are a hiding place. So he's thinking about, he's meditating on God being his hiding place. In the midst of the trouble, God's hiding him from that trouble. You, Lord, preserve me from trouble. So he's saying, Lord, even in the midst of all the trouble, you're going to preserve me. You're going to take care of me. You're going to take care of me. You surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance. What's that mean? That means that he's going to be singing because he's delivered from this trouble. There's joy in his heart. So the Lord responds. The Lord responds to David's meditation. So God will respond when we meditate, when we think on those things. Don't just say it. Think about what you're saying. Bring it into your heart and take time with what you're saying to the Lord. A lot of times he'll speak. He'll speak to us.
Amen.
Even if we don't sense a voice from the Father, a voice from the Spirit in our inner man, even if we don't sense that, there will be a rest come upon us. Or we'll get up and go on and we'll see the manifestation of what we prayed. I will instruct you and teach you. I want that, don't you?
Amen.
If I already knew, then I wouldn't need to be taught. How's he going to teach me? Well, one way is through the Word. One way is that inner sense. And another way is by my experiences. There's a lot of ways God teaches us. Sometimes you'll be walking, you may have forgot you even took time with this prayer, but you prayed it from your heart and God didn't forget it. It may be a couple of days later, but nothing's changed. So you're walking through your life and all of a sudden you get a quickening to do something. And you don't know why. You're not putting what you're doing, what you think you need to do, together with what you prayed. Your mind don't put the two together, but they're connected. So you just do in obedience what you think the Lord wants you to do. And you do that. And all of a sudden, there's a breakthrough in what you prayed. There's a breakthrough. What he told you to do over here that didn't appear to be related was. And your obedience there was the breakthrough for this. That's how you're led by the Spirit. He doesn't drop that and put it on the shelf and come back to it later. He's constantly, those angels are busy with that until you abort it. And you're the only one that can abort it. Once it's settled in your heart and God's heart, once you mean business with God, he doesn't forget it. But we abort it with our unbelief. We abort it when we start doing things opposite of that. Or we start doubting it. Or thinking that God never heard me. He did. He did. And it's been in motion and process ever since you prayed it. He's been working with that. How much stronger? It gets stronger. I'll put it this way. It'll get stronger if you keep thanking him for it.
Amen.
If you keep praying in the Spirit over that, if you keep lifting up and expecting it, it even takes place faster because now you're fueling it and you're developing an inner image of whatever you're praying for. So it's important. Being spiritually minded puts us in a place where God himself has an eye on our path and he will teach us how to choose. Psalm 25 and verse 9. He leads the humble in what is right, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and steadfast love. Even truth and faithfulness are they for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. God's ability to work and to teach us and to show us his path of mercy and loving kindness is based on our ability to walk the covenant, to walk the word, to do what the word says, to be obedient to his word. Then he leads me. Humble does not mean you're an old wimp in the corner. Bible humility means I'm taking this word and I'm believing it. Yes, Mother?
The other three translations I have say that he will teach sinners the way.
Sinners.
So some way between sinners, they got humble.
They humble. I think the actual word there means humble. But he'll teach sinners in the way too.
Yes, he does.
He teaches sinners in the way, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
How does he do that? When that sinner comes to him and asks him to teach him, he does. He's always trying to lead the sinner to repentance. Who is a sinner, like I said? A sinner is the same one that's carnally minded. He's separated from God. Do you know you can sin after you're born again?
Oh, yeah.
So, the humble, this guy becomes humble. He comes to the Father and he's messed up. God's going to teach him how to take care of that. So whether you're a sinner separated from God or whether you're a sinner walking in your carnal nature, God's going to teach you. But you have to come to him. You have to humble yourself before him. And it doesn't mean that you're a wimp. It means that you are submitting to his word. You're submitting to him as Lord of your life. Jesus is not only our Savior. He's our Lord.
Amen.
Lord and Savior. They're two different jobs. He can be my Savior, but I not do what he says.
Right.
That's carnal-minded. That's when I'm going to suffer just like everybody else does because he's not Lord in that area. But if he's Lord, then I'm doing it his way. I'm humbling myself under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your path. So there again, all three of these sections of Scripture, and there are others throughout the Word of God, if you take time to study this, you'll find that there are numerous other Scriptures that talks about being carnally minded, spiritually minded, that talks about him teaching us and leading us and guiding us on our path of life. The Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So he teaches us, doesn't he? Praise God. Being spiritually minded or love-minded puts us in a place where the angels can protect and work for us. That's a big one. That's a big one. If I'm spiritually minded, I'm going to declare the word in my life. And Psalm 103 says that the angels hearken to the voice of his word. Psalm 103, verse 20. They hearken, or they pay attention to, they grab a hold of the word that we speak. When I take God's word and I declare it, I'm humbling myself in obedience to the Lord, and I'm taking what he said, and I'm declaring that. That angel grabs a hold of that word. Now he's got something to do. He's going to bring that to pass until I abort it. Then he has to drop it. If I start doubting it or saying something opposite of that, that angel has to stop. But as long as I keep the voice of the word in my mouth, I'm building my faith, staying spiritually minded with it, that angel will continue to work with that word, no matter how long it takes. And it will come to pass, because Satan can't stop it. He can't stop the word. He has to get me to do it. I have to stop my own words. I have to do that. I'm the only one that can stop the word of God in my life. God will not stop it. That's why I put it there. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Satan cannot stop it. He has to get me to abort it. He has to get me to move away from it. He does that by deception or by my carnal nature. That's what he uses. That's why we have to stay spiritually minded. Psalm 91:11 and Psalm 91, verse 11 and verse 12. For he will give his angels, he is God, for he will give his angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. Notice that, obedience and service. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. They care for us. Then Hebrews 1:14, are not the angels, all ministering spirits, servants, sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation?
Amen.
They have all been sent. Now, I don't know how many angels there are, but according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, they've all been sent. Who sent them? God did.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they doing? They're ministers for the heirs of salvation. That's us.
Amen.
That's why they hearken to the voiced word. That's why they bear us up and bring forth. That's why they watch over us, because they've been assigned to us. And we have charge to speak and to send them forth. That's their job. They are an assignment for that purpose. I was going to give you some testimonies. One's really awesome, where God has worked through his angels in our lives, but I don't have time. I only got 4 minutes now. Several are really awesome, and I just don't have time. Maybe we'll get to it some other time. I got one more point here. Being spiritually minded or love-minded puts us in a place where we are victorious over the world.
Amen.
I cannot be victorious over this world or over this carnal, natural world without being spiritually minded.
Amen.
There is no other way. I have to be spiritually minded. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world.
Amen.
Are you born of God?
Yes.
Yes. I am born again. I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But I don't feel very victorious. You are. You're just not doing anything about it. You know, God made us victorious. He paid the price.
Yes.
Satan's completely defeated. He has no power over the people of God. Accept what those people give him.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do that. Don't give him any place. Watch what you say. Watch how you respond to the things in your life. Start walking in the Spirit. Start being spiritually or love-minded. He cannot do anything about that except to get you to move away from that. He has to have you to do anything in your life. If you don't give him any place, he can't do anything. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 18. He that keeps himself, that wicked one touches him not. What's that? How do you keep yourself? That means guard your heart above all that you guard, Proverbs 4. We keep ourselves in the Word. We keep ourselves by being spiritually minded. We keep ourselves by governing our thoughts based on the Word of God. We do that. But God has already made us victorious over the world. He doesn't have to do that. We are already there. And he gave us the manual and the way to do it in the Word of God.
Amen.
If I don't do what he says, I'm not victorious. And it's not God's fault. I can't blame him. He gave me everything I needed.
Amen.
And if I'm not walking in love, it's my fault, not God's fault. Okay, and then John 16:33 talks about, I have overcome the world. I don't have time to read the whole thing. I've only got 1 minute. 1 John 4:4, he has already overcome them. We have already overcome them because he who lives in us is greater than he who lives in the world.
Amen.
Who is in the world. I'm only using parts of these scriptures. I don't have time to go to them. 1 John 4:4, we have already overcome them. That means the agents of the Antichrist or this carnal fleshly world, because he who lives in us is greater and mightier than he who is in the world.
Amen.
He is. I just got activated. You know, God's made it real simple.
Yeah.
We make it complicated. We bring our feelings and emotions in and say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You have to get rid of your feelings and emotions. Not get rid of them, but govern them with the Word. You govern your feelings and emotions with the Word of God by His Spirit, by your love walk. You let your feelings and emotions become habitually responsive to the love walk. It's a habit. Right now, you have a habit of responding to your carnal nature.
Right.
You have a habit of getting mad at whatever's around you. You're not supposed to do that. You're a love creature. You're supposed to let the Word deal with that.
Amen.
You're supposed to walk in love there. Many of our problems, we manufacture ourselves by the way we do things.
Amen.
We don't submit ourselves to the Word of God. We don't do that. We think we have to respond that way. He made me mad. No, He didn't make you mad. You chose to get mad. You didn't have to. And even if you do get mad, you can fix that too. Father, I repent. And sir, I let my emotions govern me here, and I'm sorry. I responded wrong.
Practice.
I'm responding wrong too. Well, you can't even get mad at that.
Takes practice.
You know, you respond, thank you, I needed that. No, you didn't. You can't do anything about His response, but you can do something about yours.
Amen.
You respond in love. Father, we thank You for this teaching today. We thank You for teaching us how to be spiritually minded. We thank You, Father, that the people have heard this today and in our various lives, and that You're going to bring us to the place, Father, where we will practice our love walk. We'll practice being spiritually minded. It'll become habitual to us in every area of our life. I know that's Your will. I know I prayed Your will. And I know, Father, that You've heard my prayer. And I know that I have the petitions that I have desired of You, according to 1 John 5:14-15. And we thank You for it, Lord. We give You praise for this day, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.